A time, an opportunity for us. We are thankful to God for the privilege we have to be part of His kingdom and the adventure of seeing how He builds His church. 3 years ago, almost exactly the same time in 2022. Hey, Callan, welcome. Good to see you guys. In 2022, at the same time, we prayed for Craig and Francie. We ordained them as elders, and we sent them to Claymont. And now, 3 years later, their congregation is about more than 100 people coming together on a Sunday, worshiping the Lord. And we just see God's faithfulness. And this morning again, we are sending another couple, Vian and Kaylee. So where are you? Maybe you must come forward. Come stand somewhere on the stage. You must get used to it. We are not sending them to Claymont. We're sending them to Hornsby. And the Lord is building a church there, and we have the privilege to partner with the Lord and send our best. And yeah, what a privilege it is. So I want to ask Vander and the elders, the cell leaders, and even friends and family, as an example of a representation of us as a church, just to come forward. If you could just join us on stage, we want to bless and send them from us as they go. As we are waiting for them in Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, we see this pattern. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. And that's exactly what we want to do this morning. We want to lay hands on you and send you off. For Vian, as we are ordaining you today as an elder and a shepherd, I want to remind you of Acts 20, verse 17. It says, as Paul was striving for Miletus and sent to the Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived amongst you, serving the Lord with all humility, and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." That is for you, my friend. Kaylee, thank you for sharing your husband with the church. It is a sacrifice, but I want to encourage you to support him, to encourage him, to love him, most of all to pray for him. You are his greatest accountability partner, and God will speak to you how to help him. But most of all, to pray for him. Vian, as the scripture says, take heed of yourself. That means you must love your wife. so that God will not hinder your prayers and the church. So with that said, we want to ordain you, send you with our blessing. Let's just all stretch out our hands to him. I'm going to ask Oom Johnny and Vian, Oom Johnny and Werner to pray. Wilhelm, let's just pray.
Father God, thank you that all of us have recognized the calling on this couple's life, the anointing of the God that rests upon them. Lord, and we pray that because they have favor with you, they will find favor with man. And Lord, that their lives will make such a difference to that town and to the community. Lord, thank you that you will supply all their needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, that they will never look back at the life that they had, but stretch themselves forward to what lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that we can just, yeah, pray a blessing over Vian and Kaylee this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you go before them and that you make the crooked paths straight, Lord, that you raise up the valleys and that you flatten the hills, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that we can just proclaim, Father God, that they will be fruitful and that they will multiply, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've already gone ahead, Lord God, in the spirit, Lord God, the ground has been toiled, Lord God, and the earth has been prepared, Lord. And as they go and they sow seeds of righteousness, Lord, that you will multiply it, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you enable them, Father God. I thank you through the Holy Spirit that you lead them and you guide them. And I thank you, Lord, that they hear your voice, Lord, clearly. And I thank you, Father, for their obedience of stepping out, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that as a congregation that we are excited, Lord, to see the work that you will do in and through them and enhance, my Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord, and we release them this morning and we anoint them and we appoint them, Lord, to go and open the chapter in Hansby of the church that is led by the word and the Spirit, to open the chapter of a spirit-filled church that breaks open the ground in Hansby and brings in your flock, which is not yet in the fold, Lord. And so we pray for the bringing in and the raising up of the church of God in Hansby through their leadership, but not only through their hands, the hands of the whole church in Hansby, but under their leadership and guidance, that they will set the example and lead the way.
Yes, Lord, thank you that we can have fellowship with you, partnership, communion with you, and that we can have fellowship with them, partnership and communion. Lord, as we send them from us, Lord, thank you that we know they are safe in your hands. You have prepared a good work for them. You have called them, and you will give them the grace to finish it strong. And so we send them with our love and our blessing. And may your name be glorified through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord, I didn't cry. Last week, we started a series on building on Christ, and thank you for the time. Just wave when my time is up. We asked this question, who of us wants to be wise, to be blessed, to be happy, and to be resilient to overcome all the challenges of life? And obviously most of us respond to such an invitation. And what is so interesting is that Jesus makes this invitation to us. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, the challenges of life, yet it did not fall because it has its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house. The challenges of life came and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And we started off looking at the end of a sermon, the conclusion, the summary, the punchline, and we are moving to the beginning of it. To hear what is these words that Jesus said. That he says it would be wise not only to hear them, but to apply them so that we too may be blessed and resilient and overcome. So I want us to look at Jesus' words for the next couple of weeks to understand what he said and to consider the practical application and then trust him to apply it, to pursue and to do it. This is not just wisdom. This is faith. This is love. This is obedience. It is wise to be obedient, but more than wisdom, it is faith in God to do His ways, and most powerfully, it is love. This is how we love God, is to do what He says, is to follow Him. And so the Sermon on the Mount is the great principles of righteousness by which all Christians must live, and through faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, to actually do it. To manifest, to follow, and to live it as a testimony, but most of all, for the glory of God. It is through becoming more like Christ that God is glorified through His children. And so I want us to start off by looking at these principles. And these are principles, God's ways, God's thoughts. This is not man's wisdom. It is not man's thoughts or ways. As a matter of fact, they are opposite to the way the world thinks. It is indeed an upside down kingdom, the kingdom of God. It makes no sense in this world. It is foolishness to this world. But to those who are saved, it is the wisdom of God. And so this morning we're going to look at this path. Those who belong to the kingdom of God, it is indeed the wisdom of God. A narrow way that leads to eternal life. However, you must understand, the moment you choose to follow Jesus, to follow His ways, you are going against the stream. It's not a stream, it's a river. The river of the world. You'll be going against its philosophy, its desire, and its drive. Jesus, later in the same sermon, mentioned this. He said, "Broad and easy is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on him. Narrow and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life. But those who are on it are blessed." We who have chosen to turn against the stream, to go up the river and not with it, God said, "You are blessed." So let us read the introduction of the sermon. It is 3 chapters long. I've been given a timer. So I will only be doing 3 verses of 3 chapters as a beginning of an introduction. But I want us to read the context, and we're going to start off with Jesus' introduction. We read quickly the context, and seeing the multitudes, we spent some time on this last week. He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. His disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, what a privilege it is today to be taught by the Lord. For those who are willing to come to where he is, to listen to what he had to say. So Father, this morning we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes of our understanding. That you will open our ears to hear. And give us the faith and the grace to do what we hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you and falsely accuse you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What an amazing opening statement of a sermon. What an attention capture. What a powerful saying, invitation and declaration. One of the concepts, the key concepts that comes out of this introduction is being blessed. The word in Greek literally means happy, blessed. Happy and blessed are you when you follow, when this is yours. The poor, those who mourn, and the meek are not celebrated as blessed in the eyes of the world. It is indeed an upside-down kingdom. There are certain dispositions, attitudes of the heart that leads to be blessed in the kingdom of God. And we're going to look at these attitudes that Jesus is speaking about. First of all, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What does that mean, to be poor in spirit? One aspect is the reality that we are not spiritually self-sufficient. We are spiritually poor. We are not able to achieve or earn our way into the kingdom of God. We need to admit that we are spiritually poor, lost, and in need of a Savior. We need God's mercy and grace to enter His kingdom, to be saved. We cannot save ourselves. Those who are poor in spirit humbly repent of their sin and ask for forgiveness. And God says, they are blessed. They are happy. Those who do not remain under a curse and under God's wrath. But blessed are those who acknowledge their poverty before me, who humbly ask for forgiveness. They will be blessed with forgiveness. The poor in spirit does not think great things of himself. On the other hand, those who think themselves rich in the spirit will imagine great things of themselves. It is so interesting to note that Jesus says that the greatest in the kingdom is the humble. That God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It also speaks of self-awareness. Those powerful words of the hymn that we know so well, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I am poor, lost spiritually. I need a savior. I cannot save myself. Who will save this wretch that I am? Praise God. It is Jesus Christ who responds to everyone who calls on his name. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, we see the self-awareness of his spiritual poverty. He says, this is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. The poor in spirit are those who are not only quick to repent and to acknowledge that they are sinful, but to also admit that everything they have is by God's grace. Those who acknowledge their sin and call on Christ for grace and forgiveness, they will be blessed. They will be blessed by entering into the kingdom of God. Blessed are you if you do the same. The next one, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn over their weakness and their sins, those who are regretting what they have wronged, God said, blessed are you. It reminds me of that woman that fell at Jesus' feet and washed his feet with the tears. She was a sinner of great reputation. And when she came to visit a Pharisee, she entered the house and fell at his feet. And we read here in Luke 7, just some of the highlights. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with the tears. And when she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would have known who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And later on, Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That Hebrew word for peace means you are safe with God. You are blessed. Blessed are you, woman, for you mourn for your sinfulness and you are forgiven. You will be comforted by my forgiveness. Blessed are you. Those who mourn over their own sin before the Lord will be comforted. Indeed, they will be blessed with forgiveness. But that's not all. It reveals something also of God's heart. Like he's drawn to the humble and resists the proud, so God is drawn to those who mourn, those who are brokenhearted. God is drawn to our weakness in our moments of need. We see it in Jesus' life. He was traveling from one place to another. And because of time, I won't read the scripture. But as Jesus was moving from one town to another, he came across a funeral of a widow who lost her only son. Jesus didn't know her nor the son, but he was moved with compassion when he saw her heartache and brokenness. And Jesus raised the son from the dead. Jesus came to Lazarus' grave, and when he saw the heartache and the brokenness of the family, Jesus wept. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. God is moved with compassion over our brokenness. Those he knows and those he don't. God is drawn to the weak and the sorrowful. He hears their cries. He hears the cries of his people. And he sees their tears. God is mindful of every tear of his child. Like a parent over children. Who of us are not moved when we hear the sound of crying of our own children? We are moved. And so is God. God is drawn to us when we are brokenhearted, like a father to a child. Isaiah 61 is such a well-known portion of Scripture. Jesus quoted it at the beginning of his ministry. He said the following, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." God will comfort his people like a father a child, and there is no greater comfort than the comfort of God. God's comfort knows no bound. Man's comfort has limits. But God's comfort surpasses all understanding. When I visit those who lost loved ones, my words have little comfort. The only comfort I have is to point them to Jesus, what he has said and promised. And in their meeting with him, he comforts them in ways words cannot express. Blessed are you when you mourn before him, because he will comfort you. How often have I experienced God's comfort in my own life, in my loss, in my disappointment? You can always turn to God. You can always bring your pain before him and cry in his presence. He has sent us the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter, who lives with you, within you. He is with you always. He is closer to you than you think. If you turn to him, he will comfort you. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are those who humble and submit themselves before God. They find their refuge in Him and not in their own strength or their own understanding. They commit and submit their ways to Him and lean not on their own understanding, their own ability, their own achievement, but turn to God. On the other hand, the arrogant leans on his own strength, his own wisdom, his own pride and achievement. It is the meek rather than the arrogant that will ultimately inherit the new earth. It reminds me of Jesus' words. In Matthew 11, he says, "Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from me. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Learn from me because I am meek. I am meek and humble of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. You will be blessed if you follow me. Those who imitate Christ will inherit his reward. That is the call of discipleship. It is to follow Jesus as Lord, to follow his ways, to follow his thoughts, to imitate him in this world. It is the call of discipleship to follow Jesus. But it is against the stream, the river, the current. It will be a great adventure of many challenges when you choose to follow Jesus. There will be challenges inside of you and there will be challenges outside of you. But as you follow him, he will strengthen you. He will give you grace to face all the challenges. And you will overcome. Because he will uphold you. He will stretch out his righteous right hand and hold you as you walk with him up this river. And all its challenges, it will be an adventure. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. So how do we do and how do we make this practical? Since I have 2 minutes left. Firstly, the first three verses. We start off by acknowledge our spiritual poverty. That we in ourselves cannot earn the kingdom. We are poor, wretched, lost. We need a savior. And the only one is Jesus. But we first need to admit we are lost without him. We are not just lost without him before we were saved. We still need his grace to remain standing as much as we did before. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I am still spiritually poor and weak. I cannot face temptation without you. Lord, you said you are faithful and just not to allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able. God, I pray that you will give me the grace to rely on you and not my own strength to overcome. Lord, I am weak without you. Step one, let us acknowledge our spiritual poverty without him. Step two, let us regret our sinfulness and not justify it. Let us be quick to repent. and not try to justify. Thirdly, let us be quick to ask forgiveness. Not just acknowledge our sin, but ask God for forgiveness. His forgiveness, which is the cross of Christ, which is the fullness of forgiveness, which is the price that was paid, that Jesus said, it is finished. Whosoever comes to the Father through me, through my sacrifice, through the blood of the Lamb, will be forgiven, justified, washed, and cleansed. And forgiveness and asking God forgiveness is an opportunity of worship. Worshiping God. God, I thank you for dying for me so that I can be free. And so it starts off with remorse. It ends off with praise. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be set free. Again. For always and ever. And lastly, point number four. Let us submit ourselves willingly. Willingly. In meekness, to follow Him as Lord, King, and God. Let's choose in meekness to follow Him as the ultimate, the supreme of our lives. God, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not mine. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to extend this invitation to a wretched soul like me. An invitation to be blessed, to be happy, to take my sin away from me. And give me eternal life. Lord, help me to respond in meekness, in humility, and turn away from my sin and follow you. Turn from this world and all its empty promises, and turn to you, the only one who has truth. Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. And therefore we will sit at your feet and listen to you and hear you and ask you for more. Thank you for sending us, not leaving us as orphans, but sending us your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the seal of our inheritance, our salvation, but is also with us always. You are the mentor, the teacher, so that you can lead us into all truth. Holy Spirit, I ask, teach us. Show us your ways, your understanding, your will. Help us to acknowledge it is not ours. Your ways, your thoughts, your will, your kingdom, it's not like ours. But you've called us out of this world, out of this mess, out of this river that leads to destruction. You had mercy on us, calling us by name and reaching out to us in this current. Calling us to grasp your hand, to stand, and to follow you against it. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now where you're seated in your own words, just to respond to the Lord through those 4 points. Just where you are, just speak to the Lord in your own words. If you are here this morning while we are praying and this is the first time that you're responding to an invitation to take hold of His hand in the midst of a river, to stand, to turn around, and to follow Him. Maybe you have let go of His hand and slip down this river again. Well, He's calling you again today. He's saying, my son, my daughter, take my hand. You're slipping. If that is you this morning, I want you to respond by just reaching out your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to take hold of your hand. I want to follow you. Save me, Lord. Just put it up high if that is you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Someone is going to come to you and pray with you. If you would just keep your hand raised for a moment longer. And while they do, Father, I want to pray for each and every one of us that you will give us the grace to be strong, to stand not in our own strength, but in yours. That we may be encouraged when we face the wind, the rain, and the current. That we will not give up, but we will keep on holding to your hand and follow you. Because you say, we are blessed when we do. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Our time is up. You have to go because the next needs to come. But if you're in need of prayer, we're going to be here in the front. We'll happily minister to you. But may God bless you and keep on following against the stream. Because blessed are you, happy are you to do so. And remember, there is a worship evening tonight for those who want to come. Worship evening tonight at 6:30.